The words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Some people see things as they are and ask why. Others see an image or imagine things as they can be and ask why not. An unnamed woman came to worship in the synagogue that Sabbath. I wonder if she thought she would exit the way she had entered. It would be like every other Sabbath day. She'd go in and come out in the same shape. For 18 long years, she viewed life, you see, from the ground up. She knew the tops of her feet and the pebbles at her toes. She did not know much of faces and eyes, or smiles, or frowns. It was hard to be in any real conversation with anyone. It was hard to be in community. She bore a heavy load, not just physically, but emotionally, and mentally, and spiritually. Living in this crippled way of life, the way in which she saw herself and others was distorted, unreal, and untrue. And her neighbors? Well, they'd gotten used to seeing her bent over her back and the top of her head. So to them, the community, it was their normal. But Jesus, teaching in the synagogue that day, noticed her. And he asked, why not set her free to be who she was created to be, a daughter of Abraham? So he calls her to himself, come here. He touches her and speaks, be free. Why not? My sisters and brothers in Christ Jesus, we are all in need of this freedom that Jesus affords. God wants to share, you see, God's own liberty with us. That liberty is the freedom to be who we were created to be. It is not bound up in our roles or in what we do. It is in who we are. And we are co-creators and images of the living God. And that's a big deal. Think about the diversity of peoples in all of the world, each one of them an icon of God. From the very beginning of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus comes as a liberator, a freedom fighter. And we hear him read in chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. Now, of course, as Americans, we have our own version of freedom, yes? We are the land of the free and the home of the brave, right? But how can we be fully free when so many of us are living crippled lives? Not just of poverty and hopelessness or imprisonment, but despair, anxiety, anger, and the big one, the big crippling spirit, apathy. These are the spirits that cripple us collectively as a people. And these same spirits cripple us individually as well. But the God whom we worship this morning doesn't define freedom in our way. God has spoken through the prophet Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways," says Yahweh. For some of us, freedom means license. We're free to do as we desire. But what if our desires are the very things keeping us enslaved? Would we even know it? The biggie. Until we realize that we are one in this reality that we call life on planet Earth. When we hit this reality, as long as one is not free, none are free. No one is free until all are free. That's just the way God planned it and made it. But frankly, alas, we've been enslaved for so long, we don't even know it. I recall being told by a woman who had lived a life of so much struggle that it colored everything about her life. And she had gotten tired. So one day, while reading her scripture, she began to earnestly seek the face of God. The old folks call it going into her prayer closet. Y'all ever heard that? Anybody from the South? Going into your prayer closet? That means getting real with God. You're not playing. You're not just, oh no, this is real stuff. And she said while she was in this position, all of a sudden it felt like scales fell from her eyes. And within a single moment, she realized that she had become comfortable with her discomfort. What discomfort have you become comfortable with? And let me just say this jokingly, but not. Comfort is overrated. Ask the people who live very full lives without the comforts that we can't live without. And then ask the people who live more than comfortable lives what they are most afraid of. Anyhow, once my friend became aware of just how her critical nature wasn't really her, wasn't the truth of who she was at all, it was her defense against the struggles of her life, then she began to use tools to help her repent, change that old way of being for a new and better way of being. Did her challenges go away? Not really. But the way she reacted to them changed. And gradually, seriously, her circumstances did change as well. Like my friend, many of us are weighed down. We're crippled with fear or anxiety. We're overloaded with anger and unforgiveness, condemnation of others, which, by the way, I learned the hard way because I'm the oldest of seven. The person who judges, especially the person who judges, and I learned that condemnation of others was really self-condemnation. You see, we're so crippled in so many ways. We're broken. We look at the world around us, and all we see is brokenness. We don't even realize that our big screen TVs and our attitudes and our habits have enslaved us, have literally enslaved us to being unhealthy and broken humans in this world. And then we wear masks to cover what's underneath, the rage, the anger, the humiliation, the hurt, whatever particular demon is torturing our soul that day. Where is the freedom in that? If we're free people, where's the freedom in that? Where's the joy? Jesus says, come here to me and be free. Why not? We will begin to live freely, boldly, courageously, open and receptive to life as it presents itself to us, as we continue to cultivate a relationship with our Lord. We must simply ask and sincerely ask for release from fear. When I was a chaplain in the hospital, I had a former crack addict who was dying at 30, severe cardiac failure, and she was afraid. And every time she would start to leave, she would, I can't. And we prayed about this, and we simply asked that she could just go home when she went to sleep. She prayed to be released from her fear of dying. And she went very peacefully early that morning. I'm always amazed at the way we pray and ask God for things that are big, like, I'm gonna have surgery tomorrow, will you please heal me, and that sort of thing, or take care of this or take care of that. But those little things that we really need help in changing, like our minds or our attitudes or whatever, and we don't ask. And that's what he wants from us. He wants us to ask, because when we're changed, the world outside of us is changed. The world needs us to be changed. None of us, y'all, none of us are in the body of Christ by accident. We're all on a mission. We're here to be light bearers in an unbearably dark world. We are icons of the living Christ. Do something for me, with me. I want you to hear this. If you're so inclined, put your hand here on your heart. Put your hand on your heart if you're inclined. Put your other hand on top of it. And just listen. Close your eyes if you want. You are an icon of Christ. Christ is within you. That feels so different. You can open your eyes now. Because just like Christ is in you, he's in everybody else too. We are co-creating with God, and we're about the business of recreating a new world. It's a world of light. But we can only accomplish this holy task if we allow the light to enter and clean out our inner rooms so that they are enlightened first. We are human, and we too are held captive to a spirit that cripples our capacity for living fully in the light. To all of these things, the things that we rage against in society, like injustice or rampant fear or crushing incivility, they're in us. That's how we recognize them. And to all of them, Jesus says, come to me and be free. The physically disabled woman knew her crippling spirit. Do we? Shall we take the time to revitalize and cultivate our relationship with the risen Christ so that we might know the truth and be set free? We're icons of God. Why not? The city of Baltimore is depending on us to be the good news. Why not indeed? Amen.